You are listening to the Staying Gang Women's Basketball Podcast presented by the Greater Texas Ford Dealers on the Midwestern State Digital Network. We'll take a weekly inside look with Coach Christopher Ray into the women's basketball program. We'll recap last week's games and take a look at this week's opponent. It's the Staying Gang Women's Basketball Podcast on the Midwestern State Digital Network.
In Texas, whether it's work or play, Ford trucks lead the way. Like the Ford F-150 with best-in-class payload, or the Ford Super Duty with best-in-class towing. Ford trucks come with premium features that make the Ford F-Series America's best-selling truck for 43 years and the best-selling truck in Texas. Upgrade to a new Ford F-Series today only at your Texas Ford dealer. Ford F-Series. Built for Texas. Built for you. Based on 1977-2019 CY total sales.
It's time for the Midwestern State Staying Gang Women's Basketball Podcast. Your host, Trey Reed, along with Midwestern State Head Coach Christopher Ray. It's the 10-8, Christopher Ray, over 500 after last week in your coaching career, looking for that number to grow higher and higher.
Well, one game at a time. That's all we're worried about right now. We've got a big test this week, and we had a good outing last week, and we're just looking to continue to build.
Now, if the trends hold, right now you're moved up to fifth in the D2 SIDA South Central Regional rankings, which are fun to talk about, but I know I'll take the coach speak away from you. I know they mean absolutely nothing.
Yeah, definitely right now they mean nothing. It's where you finish that after that last regular season game or after the conference tournament, really, to where all that really matters.
But as of right now, the Mustangs have given two of the teams in the rankings their only loss of the season, West Texas A&M, which is third, and Texas A&M Commerce, which is fourth. You get another two swings at that this week when you're facing the top-ranked team, Lubbock Christian. We'll get to them more later on the show. Let's talk about the two wins last week at Texas Women's University, which those games couldn't have been any different from Friday to Saturday.
Yeah, they were definitely a lot different. We were firing on all cylinders offensively, and then Saturday was a little bit different, but the one similarity was our defense held pat both games. I was pleased both days with our defense.
Held Texas women's to nearly 30% from the field in both of those games. And you had, we'll get into the particulars of those games, but you had two seniors come back on Friday, Kathana Diaz and Hannah Reynolds. Did that give you a shot in the arm?
Oh, definitely. It allowed us to stay fresher, especially that first game. You know, and then when we got that lead, it definitely allowed the rotations to balance out to where I don't think anyone played more than 24 minutes or 25 minutes in that Friday night game, which was huge when you're trying to play these back-to-backs. And then we had to travel back to Wichita Falls because the proximity, we decided we would, you know, stay out of the hotels, try and keep our bubble intact. We didn't want to increase exposure to the girls. And so, coming back that next day, it was nice having fresher legs with Tana and Hannah back.
And when you talk about those two, they combined for 22 on Friday night, and that was a 67-51 win over the Pioneers. Reynolds coming through with 12 points to top the duo, and she had four rebounds. She's the kind that's been starting most of her time at Midwestern, but I know, as you were saying in the post-game interview with Pete Stein, that really doesn't matter. It's who's on the floor at tip.
Yeah, no, it really doesn't matter who we start, and I think this group has really bought into that. I mean, everybody would like to start, but to be honest, at the end of the day, and we've been preaching, you know, history, you go back, you know, you look at 30 years, who won the game? That's all that matters, is that Midwestern State comes out on top. That's all we need to be focused on. We need to be looking at the big picture, and everybody plays. It's not like, you know, you start and then you only play 5 minutes, like, or you come off the bench. I think Hannah and Brittany both minutes were almost identical throughout the weekend, and there was some, you know, because of foul trouble in that second game, they actually played a lot of minutes together, which was something that we hadn't had a lot of experience with, and so it was kind of learning on the fly with having them both out there. But it was nice and worked well against TWU, who are bigger than some of the other teams, and we were able to match really well with both of them out there.
Now the Mustangs, you guys have had a good spell where you've punched first, and that happened Friday night against the Pioneers. You jumped out to a 20-4 lead after the end of the first period. No, that's something that all teams would like to build the lead and try to set the tone, but this team has had the knack for doing that. I know didn't quite score 30 in that first period, but this is the type of team that can land a flurry of punches like that.
Yeah, we can, and we're just executing. When we execute within what we do, and then we limit the other team to one shot and done, it's been very successful for us, and we got to continue to keep that up.
And then in the second period, T-Dub made a run, got a bit closer, closed out the first half pretty well, but really reasserted control of that game in the third period when Morgan Linehan hit three three-pointers in pretty near proximity at the beginning of the period, kind of put the game away.
Yeah, they had switched to zone, and then Morgan just found her way in that left corner and hit three in a row. Well, one was off of a trans where they were trying to get into their zone, but still it was she got comfortable, and the girls found her and knocked them down, and that kind of got them out of the zone and gave us that cushion we needed to come away with that one.
And that was a game that really got you going to set the tone into the Saturday game. And it seems to me, I'd had to go back and do the research on it, but it seems like I've seen a lot of not necessarily great shooting at Kitty McGee Arena. It doesn't really matter what team it is, but I can remember some really low scoring games there. And it strikes me as weird because you go into the gym, there's a lot of space between the wall and the baskets. Being a basketball player like yourself, I mean, does that really make a difference? Because you think of some of the gyms in our league, some of the ones that you consider hard to shoot in would be like A&M Commerce, where you have that big void of space behind the goals. Does that really make that big of a difference?
No, I don't think it really makes that big of a difference. I think the real reason why at TWU we've had a lot of low scoring, grudge match fights is because, Coach Gilson and her club and both in our program over the last decade were both so defensive minded, just in our core philosophies. And so when we get together, it's always just, who's going to stop the other team the most, and that's kind of the way it's been. We figure each other out because we're kind of similar styled, and so I think that's why it's been a little bit more low scoring, not necessarily the backdrop of the rim.
It was kind of really weird for Friday, and of course I wasn't there at the game on Saturday, but not having Beth Gilson there because she was in quarantine as well, but when I was thinking about it, she's been the head coach at Texas Women's for as long as I've been here. So that had to be kind of different to go down there and not see her down the sideline.
Yeah. And we found out she had tested positive. She's doing great. And we continue to wish her a speedy recovery to get back on her floor with her squad. Coach Stevens, Jake Stevens, the assistant, stepped up really nicely for her, and they've been together for the last 3 or 4 years. And so we knew their kids were going to fight very hard for her. And but it definitely was a little bit different not being able to see her, because I know she's very fiery and very motivating for her club. And so I'm sure they're eager to have her back.
Then on Saturday, it really started out as a fairly good scoring game, 16-15 lead for the Mustangs at the end of the first period, but you'd only score 30 the rest of the game. However, you would hold Texas Women's just 22 over the final three periods. You're talking about the defense and the field goal percentage, and in that game you held the Pioneers to 28.3% from the floor and managed just two threes. You had to be happy with that. And kind of what's going on with the defense? How are you improving throughout the year?
Our rotations, our team rotations within our core philosophy is really there. We're getting even not only the first rotation right, we're getting the second rotation right. And that's been the biggest part as far as getting stops and forcing them into shots over us, where they're not just wide open shots on the second rotation. So they're still trying to shoot contested against us. And then all five are rebounding. That's been what we've been really preaching. I mean, Sheridan had, I think, four defensive boards in the first game. I think she picked up another four. Morgan's been rebounding great. I mean, really all the guards are really getting in there and chipping in with the post. It's not like we're just, our forwards are gobbling them up. I think nobody on the team is averaging more than six boards, but yet we're still, you know, doing very well as a team in the league. So we got to continue to keep that up. And because when you make that second rotation, and you force a contested shot, normally it's going to have a longer rebound because it's going to be further away from the paint. And so longer shots, longer rebounds, and that's where the guards are picking those up. And then it's able to get us to start our break after that. And we were successful, especially in that first game, of turning those rebounds into fast break opportunities for us.
Francis King came on to score 16 points, 5 of 10 from the field with 2 threes after she kind of struggled from the floor on Friday night. I know you're looking for that consistency from her. It seems like she is scoring in double figures with more regularity as the season goes along.
Yeah, she is. And again, like we talked about after the Tyler series, you know, and I've told her, and we've been working on that, she's going to get a different look from every team we play. Someone's going to try and take away something in our offense, whether they try and take away Morgan, or they try and take away our inside presence, or they try and take away Francis. So, you know, it's going to just, we have to pick and choose and find out what they're giving us, and then we got to exploit it.
Linehan with her 3 threes on Friday night, followed up with 2 more on Saturday, but gave another one of those all-around games, 10 points, 8 rebounds, and 5 assists. The 5 assists, critical whenever you just make 14 field goals in such a low-scoring game.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, Morgan was keeping her head up as, you know, Texas women's, their team defense and their rotations, and she was able to find Brittany a couple of times, and she found Haven a couple of times on our pick and rolls, and just seeing over and around the defense, it was real credit to keeping her eyes up as she was navigating the middle of the paint.
You mentioned Brittany Fields, the freshman making the last 4 starts for you, and now with Hannah Reynolds coming back, she had another big game on Saturday, 8 points, 6 rebounds. How is she progressing? It seems like her confidence seems to be getting better and better. We know how strong she is.
Oh, she's extremely strong, and her confidence is skyrocketing, which is great to have a freshman do that at this point of the season, to where she's making plays both offensively and defensively, and she's just executing what we do and scoring within the system. And but the rebounds have been huge, and then obviously the charges she's picked up over the last 3 games. We knew that coming in, that she was capable of taking charges, which you wouldn't necessarily think that people would try and run her over, but you know, she steps up and puts her body on the line, and it's been huge for us.
Still, I know you mentioned it last week that it's probably in quite a few years, I've probably only seen like maybe 2 or 3 charges taken where the player did not fall down. It was the fact the violator that ended up on the floor. I know she probably got a kick out of that in film sessions.
Oh yeah, no, she did. She loved it, and her reaction, her team's reaction to it was really great as well.
So Midwestern, well, the only thing I'd want to ask coach is Shaughnessy Miller was played 13 minutes, and I know she had maybe some issues, maybe with a hand or something like that. Is she good to go for this week's, for the big games?
Yeah, no, she's good to go. It wasn't injury. It was foul trouble in that second game. She went in and picked up 2, like, back-to-back real quick, and then so that limited her time. And then when we got her back in the third, she picked up actually a 3rd one right before the half, because they were so quick back-to-back, and I couldn't get her subbed out in time to protect her. And then so we had to start Tana to start the second half, and then when we got her back in, like, she picked up her 4th really quickly as well, and then Haven picked up her 4th really quickly as well. And so that's why we had to play Brittany and Hannah together for a really long stretch, longer than I necessarily would have liked. But and then also, I didn't want to push the envelope the way the game was going. It was so close. Like, we may end up in overtime, and I definitely need Sean and Haven for overtime. So I was trying to save them for the under 4 minute in the 4th. And so luckily we didn't have to go to overtime. And so I was able to get Haven and Sean back in there to finish it off defensively and have them switch and get out, as we knew Tito was going to start throwing up some threes to try and catch up to us.
Well, thank goodness it's not injury, because surely we know that you guys have – dealt with enough of that adversity this year. And I noticed being around practice, I know a couple players without boots on, including
we're getting rid of the athletic equipment. Yeah, Mark and Mandy are both out of boots, and so we're easing them back in. We're not quite sure on when their exact return to play is going to be, but just having them out of the boot, and that just definitely their demeanor on the sidelines has definitely perked up, them being able to at least maybe participate in some of the non-contact drills and start to jog up and down the sidelines. It's definitely definitely good for us if we can, you know, get to February and start being closer to full strength. That it just adds to the weapons at our disposal.
Mustangs at 7-2 on the season, getting ready to play Lubbock Christian, who's been a powerhouse in the conference since arriving in Division II a few years ago. We'll talk about them in the next segment. You're listening to the Stang Gang Women's Basketball Podcast on the Mustangs Digital Network.
In Texas, whether it's work or play, Ford trucks lead the way. Like the Ford F-150 with best-in-class payload, or the Ford Super Duty with best-in-class towing. Ford trucks come with premium features that make the Ford F-Series America's best-selling truck for 43 years and the best-selling truck in Texas. Upgrade to a new Ford F-Series today only at your Texas Ford dealer. Ford F-Series, built for Texas, built for you. Based on 1977-2019 CY total sales.
Hey, football fans, leave the Hail Marys for the game and go for the sure thing when it comes to satisfying your craving. When you pick up Raising Cane's for game day, all you have to worry about is the score. Because we've got the food covered with fresh, never ever frozen chicken fingers, cane sauce, and jugs of freshly made tea and lemonade. Our chicken fingers are always hand battered and cooked to order. So no matter the score, you'll always win. Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love.
We've invented a new messaging system using the crisp sounds of Bud Light. Crisp Code, Lesson 42. This is how you say happy hour. It's happy hour. Let's go get some Bud Lights. That's it for today.
Brewed with no corn syrup. Bud Light, crisp. Enjoy responsibly. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
When you do whatever it takes to get the job done, they say you're on it. At ASCO Equipment, we are on it. It's what we learned as kids, what our parents taught us. To work hard, get the job done, and get it done right. We partnered with Case Construction Equipment because they get the job done too. You can buy and rent Case equipment from us and we'll service and support it. Just like we support you, because we're on it. Whatever it is, at ASCO, we're on it.
You're listening to the Stang Gang Women's Basketball Podcast. Once again, your host, Trey Reed, along with head women's basketball coach Christopher Ray. Is a coach, we're heading into West Division play this week. You already had the two games with West Texas A&M, now moving in against, if the WBCA poll were out, probably a top five, maybe even top team in the country with Lubbock Christian, won two national championships in the recent years. Always a challenge out at Rip Griffin Center. Really tough to play out in West Texas. What makes that? I mean, other than the team just being so good that you're playing against, is there anything different about the center?
I actually have never actually coached there. The one time we were to return a game in 2015-2016, my father-in-law had passed right before that game, and so I didn't make the trip with the team. I've been there to watch the JUCO Nationals, and so I know the arena. It's pretty similar to other arenas right in our league, but I know their fan base is very good. They always have a really great crowd out there, so that would be the main reason why I'd say they've had a lot of success, along with being a good club on top of that.
Of course, their coach, Steve Gomez, probably in your coaches' meetings, you guys get to know each other as a group pretty well.
Yeah, no, he's a great guy, and he's been doing a phenomenal job with them, winning two titles in the last, 7 or 8 years. He's won two national titles, and he's had some great players. And thankfully, as we were talking just a minute ago, a couple of them have graduated. Maddie Chitsey was player of the year in the league last year, and thankfully she graduated along with Caitlin Cunyas, but they still have Allie Schulte and Ashton Duncan and Emma Middleton. So we've got our hands full with those three, as they were all key contributors to last year's club.
They come in at 8-0, coming off of two pretty good size wins against Texas A&M International. Actually, the Dust Devils stayed within 10 on Friday. 71-61 was the LCU winning margin, and then forced the Lady Chaps forced 29 turnovers against the Dust Devils on Saturday and just ran them out of the gym 85-42. I'm sure you got a chance to see some of that video.
Yeah, that first game was, you know, kind of what I anticipated with International being a good team as well, you know, being a 10-point deficit. I thought that was kind of fitting. And then, yeah, just International kind of hit the wall in that second game and ended up being a 40-point blowout. So, but it definitely, LSU wasn't making many mistakes as well. So it was kind of, that was why the score was so lopsided. LSU played near perfect and International kind of fell apart a little bit, but International's still a good team.
Allie Schulte is their leading scorer, 14.9 points per game. She does something that pretty much the entire team does, not to her level necessarily, not many do, 70% from the floor, and she's 19 of 30 from three-point range this season. So obviously she doesn't take a lot, but she seems to find the net when she does.
Yeah, she's shooting an incredible clip right now, which is very impressive in our league, knowing that, you know, teams definitely try and take away your best player's strength, but she's still finding a way to score. But that's kind of a credit to Coach Gomez's system, is that they're going to stay within what they do and they're not going to overforce the issue. You would think it with her percentage, she should be shooting the ball every time she comes down to down the floor. But, you know, if they were to try that style, it wouldn't necessarily fit for them. So they're going to continue to run what they do. They're going to make you have to over-rotate and get to the next and third and fourth level of your defense. And then, you know, we got to hope that we're still scrambling around to find them and not let her get open shots.
Then you look at Allie Schulte. One, she's a senior guard, kind of familiar with the small town that she's from, Nazareth, Texas. Nazareth High, the Swiftettes, always have a great program.
Yeah, always produce players, and you know, she's a good product of that player, along with you know, our late great Coach Jay.
Yes, sir. And then Ashton Duncan, the second leading scorer, 11.8 points per game, shoots the three at 47%. She actually takes more than Schulte. She's a 28 of 60. She hit 9 last weekend against TAMIU.
Yeah, no, another great player. Again, just scoring within what they do with all their flare screens and back screens and just movement in general. And so we've got to be able to find both of them. We're going to work that in practice, trying to keep them in check.
And Emma Middleton, the other player that you had mentioned, she's not actually in double figures. She's a senior as well, averaging 9.1 points per game, almost 4 rebounds. 54% from the floor. She's taken 50 shots in the 8 games. So she's someone that's probably not kind of gets shots kind of within the offense, not necessarily by design.
Yeah, no, it's all offensive rebounds or over rotations, giving her a little slip pass here and there. And, you know, last year we were so focused on trying to stop Maddie Chitsey, and we actually did a really great job guarding her last year. But then when Emma subbed in for Maddie, we didn't really pay much attention to Emma, and she actually hurt us a lot last year, especially late in the fourth quarter when we were ahead of them last year for most of the game. And then they made a run on us that we just couldn't answer down the stretch here at our place. And so we definitely know that Emma is capable of putting up some numbers, so we're going to have to not let her get easy looks down and around the basket.
When you look at their defensive numbers for the Lady Chaps, I mean, they got to rank up in the top in the nation. They just give up 47 points per game, limit the opposition to 33% from the field. That doesn't matter if you're within or outside the arc. What characterizes the LCU defense?
They're probably the most disciplined team in the league. They don't make mistakes, just silly ones where they just forget to guard someone, which, you know, occasionally happens. But they just – it's amazing that they don't have those mental errors, and that's got to be credit to Coach Gomez and their practices, to where he gets them all to stay so focused on every possession. And so we're going to have our work cut out for us to stay within the moment and continue to execute what we do.
Now, for years, you and I did the pregame scouts, and so I'm going to kind of revert to that whenever we talk about Lubbock Christian. But Mustangs obviously need to get out and punch first. What does your team need to do in order to do that?
Well, obviously make shots,
right?
But
right. In the basket.
Yeah, I think you know, I think if we move the ball against them, you know, our screening will be a little different. They always are going to maybe try and take away our pick and roll, which is what they did a good job of against us last year. I think we've practiced guarding or attacking just about every way you can guard a pick and roll better this year, knowing that we're going to see any which way. And so I think hopefully we can attack, you know, their pick and roll defense a lot better than we did last year, where we kind of struggled and stalled out, especially in the third quarter. So I think that'll help us if we can stay aggressive attacking the rim, even if they decide to, you know, ice our ball screen or switch or whatever they throw at us.
And we talked about your personal trip out to Lubbock last week. So making another trip, obviously, to play LCU. Going to make a stop before you go over to the LCU campus.
Yeah, we were, you know, initially when we heard about the ceremony for Coach J's bench unveiling, you know, I wanted to take the whole team, but we had just came off of, you know, the games, and we did the extra travel, and we were kind of already injured. So, we knew Lubbock Christian was coming up, so we decided we were going to leave just a tad bit earlier, not too much, and we'll stop by the bench and get a team photo, and so all the team can experience that and, you know, just get that feeling before we head over to LCU's campus and play the game.
Definitely look forward to I know that the team would have to look forward to that, and that's going to be a touching moment.
Yeah, it will be, and I think it will, you know, just allow the girls to reflect in their own way and, you know, have their own thoughts and prayers about everything. We continue to think and pray about Coach J daily, but it'll just give them another, you know, hard, you know, look at themselves and where they're at and where we want to continue to, you know, honor Coach J's legacy.
Now we'll talk about the schedule, because there are a few changes coming up. Obviously, you play this week, Lubbock Christian on Wednesday, and in Lubbock, and then back at the O'Ligan Coliseum on Saturday. And then next week you have another crossover series, Friday and Saturday, February 5th and 6th, against Oklahoma Christian. Now the addition is you're going to make up one of the games against St. Edwards coming up on Monday, February 8th at 5:30. And then that leaves a break from where you would normally have played West Texas A&M. I know it's in the works to possibly get the Western New Mexico series in as well.
Yeah, we're trying to work that out, or if, you know, right now the conference games are more important, so if we're able to sneak somebody else in there, I mean, we'd still like to get an opportunity to play international. If their opponents were to be knocked out in the same weekend, maybe we could slide that in. And then obviously even tomorrow's game and versus LCU and this week is, you know, nothing for any team in the country right now is guaranteed, and so we got to keep hoping that both clubs test negative and we can continue to play. But yeah, the schedule hopefully will hold up, and we'll be able to get some more home games under the dome with St. Ed's makeup, and then hopefully maybe getting Western New Mexico to play at home would be nice.
And we talk about Lone Star Conference standings, point system this year. The first ones were released to the public this week, and overall the Mustangs sitting sixth in the league with a rating of 3.75, sitting behind A&M Commerce, West Texas A&M, Lubbock Christian is third, followed by Oklahoma Christian and Cameron. So kind of surprising, but it kind of goes on who you played in this week with a win either night over Lubbock Christian, and it will help that rating immensely.
Yeah, no, that will definitely help if we're able to get one against LCU. You know, you get more points for teams against that are above 7,500 win percentage. And so right now, you know, this is going to change drastically from week to week, because even teams that you may have beat early in the year, if they were 2-0 at the time, that looked really good for you. But that they don't win the rest of the year and they drop below 2,500 on the win percentage, then your point value changes. So it's like, well, yeah, that was a good win at the time, or, you know, and then later on in the year, it doesn't really work that way. So it's going to change and fluctuate all the way to the last week. And we're just going to, you know, again, that's going to take care of itself. And it's still the best system based off of what we're dealing with a pandemic, because it's then divided by the number of games played. So it makes sense. It's good for this year. But right now we're just worried about one game at a time, and it'll all take care of itself down the road.
Now within the division, the Mustangs are winning the West with a 4.5 rating ahead of West Texas A&M and Lubbock Christian, so something to defend there.
Yeah, definitely we want to be able to stay on top of the division, because, correct me if I'm wrong, Trey, the division leader gets the automatic to the conference tournament. this year. I think that's what
I
was.
I believe that's right. I'd have to check on that for sure. But
so, you know, just an extra bonus way to get into the tournament, if you can win the division, would be a nice just adage to get in. We'd obviously like to get in regardless, but we'll take any way we can get into the tournament so we can keep playing games.
That's another week of the Staying Gang podcast, Women's Basketball Show. It's been fun. Looking forward to making the trip out to Lubbock and then having the Lady Chaps back here.
Yeah, that'll be great. And then also we're trying to plan, more announcements will be made about LCU on Saturday. We're trying to have Senior Day. It's kind of unnormal to have Senior Day this early in the year, but we're not guaranteed any games. So as soon as we get a home Saturday game, we're going to honor our seniors, and more details I'm sure will be released on that as well. So come out and see those ladies get honored. I know it won't be their final game under the dome, but we're just trying to get it in because nothing's guaranteed right now.
5:30 start tomorrow at Lubbock Christian at Rip Griffin Center. Pete Stein will be on the call, and we'll have that on the Mustangs Digital Network. Taco Casa pregame show begins at 5:15. All those games, both Wednesday and then Saturday at DL League and Coliseum, are on the Lone Star Conference Digital Network as well, so you can watch those. The cost for the pay-per-view is $10 per day, so you get a day pass for $10. The games on Saturday are set for 3:30 and 5:30. The women at 5:30 and be out of 3:30, and we'll have Senior Day as well, and we'll pay attention to MSU Mustangs and then the women's basketball Twitter account if you want to talk about that as well.
Oh yeah, please follow and see what we're doing. We've got some extra help this year, putting out a lot of content, and we're going to have some more content coming out shortly. You'll see some more videos, a personal look at some of the players, so be on the lookout for that.
I look forward to next week with the podcast. Good luck.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Midwestern State Staying Gang Women's Basketball Podcast on the Mustangs Digital Network. Staying Gang Basketball Podcast, presented by the Greater Texas Ford Dealers, drop weekly on the Midwestern State Digital Network. We invite you to keep up with the podcast on social media at MSU Mustangs on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Want to listen to or download the cast? Go to MSUMustangs.com/podcast. You've been listening to the Staying Gang Podcast, presented by the Greater Texas Ford Dealers on the Midwestern State Digital Network.